Say no, because I can't play in Chinese. I can barely play in English. But let's do a testimony song tonight. Let me tell you about my friend on whom I depend. He's the best friend I ever knew. With all my heart, I want to serve him. With all my heart, I want to please him and do what he wants me to do. Even at my best, when I'm put to the test, there are times when I let him down. But the wonder of it all, he loves me when I fall. He loves me just as I am. Though I fail the Lord, he has never failed me. He's been everything and more he said he would be. His promises he has kept so faithfully. And though I fail the Lord, he has never failed me. He loves me when I'm up. He loves me when I'm down. He loves me when I've done wrong. He's been there on my mountain. He's been in all my valleys. He's never left me alone. There have been times I know when I failed him so, but he's never let go of my hand. He's always been there to love me and to care. Why he loves me, I don't understand. Though I fail the Lord, he has never failed me. He's been everything and more he said he would be. His promises he has kept so faithfully. And though I fail the Lord, he has never failed me. Thank you, Pastor. I'm honored that you'd let me come tonight. Let me give you just a little bit of information. I've never been here before. That is somewhat unusual to say for a missionary, for a congregation of people who support our ministry, and I've never been here. You folks, my understanding is you supported a missionary a number of years ago, and he passed on, and we took over part of his ministry, and I think through the period of time, the church just transitioned and started supporting our work as a result of that dear brother. And so I apologize, it's taken me so long to get to you and give an update, and I think that's important. And so I'm apologizing, it's taken so long to get to you folks. I think it's important that you know who and what you support. I mean, you give financially, and that's needed, of course, in the ministry, but I would hope, and I see our card on the table, I would hope that you'd also pray for our ministry. That's even more important. And because of that, that means that we're partners. We're partners tonight. And you've invested in the ministry that we're involved in, not just mine, but these other missionaries as well. And as a result of that, this local church, this local assembly, you have a part in getting the gospel out literally around the world tonight. Not just in this local area, but through this church, you have a part in other ministries in getting the gospel literally around the world tonight. And I commend you for that. And so I want to give you an update on what our ministry and what's involved. How many have you ever heard that it's illegal to have a Bible in China? You ever heard that? Sure, we've all heard that. Can I let you in on a secret tonight? It's just us, right? China prints more Bibles than any other country in the world. Now, when I say that, I get that look from most people, and they're thinking, now, wait a minute, we know a little bit about your ministry, and we heard that you helped smuggle Bibles in, and you've done, you know, taking scriptures in, and now you've just told us that China prints more Bibles than any other country in the world. In fact, the largest printing press for Bibles in the world is located in China, and they print millions of them every year. They print English Bibles, Spanish Bibles, German Bibles, French Bibles, Portuguese Bibles, African dialect Bibles, anything that you want to pay for, they'll print them as many as you'll pay for, and they'll ship them to your front door. I left out a language. Did you notice that? Chinese. In fact, only one company in all of China is legally allowed to print a Chinese Bible. One company. It's regulated by the government. And that Bible is only made available to, now this is going to be another surprise. How many of you have ever heard that it's illegal to have churches in China? We've all heard about underground churches, right? China has a government church, a sanctioned government church. There's not very many of them. In fact, Beijing, the capital of China, has some 18 to 20 million people. They have seven legal churches in all of Beijing, seven. Now, what about that government church? What's it like? I've visited some of those just to visit. They sing hymns that you would recognize. You would recognize the melody. There'll be hundreds of people come to the services. The pastor will get up and bring a message. The problem with the message is they'll tell some stories, and they'll tell everyone to be a good neighbor and to be a good citizen and be kind to one another. And all of those things are great things. In fact, those are biblical things. But you can't be saved tonight by being kind to one another. You can't be saved by being a good citizen or a good neighbor. No, there's no salvation in that message. None. You look around the congregation of the government church, and you should notice something else. You won't see any young people, any teenagers or children in those churches, because it's illegal to evangelize anyone under the 18 in China. Doesn't sound like the kind of church that I'd want to be involved in. In fact, the pastor, quotation, is a member of the Communist Party, and their message and their training comes from the communist government. By reputation, I know your pastor. By reputation. I think, if I'm wrong, you correct me, but I think I know him well enough by reputation that he wouldn't want or allow the state of Georgia or the federal government or the county or some bureaucrat to tell him and dictate what he could come to this pulpit and preach to you as a congregation. And I would hope as a congregation you wouldn't want that either. Well, neither do the real Christians of China. Where are they? Are they in those government churches? I'm not going to say there's no Christians in the government churches. They possibly could be. But I guarantee you this, most of them are in what we call either underground churches or unregistered churches in China. Now, what's the difference? And I'm giving you this information because I want you to know. There is a difference between an underground church and an unregistered church. What's the difference? Well, an underground church is exactly what it sounds like. It's people that are meeting in secret. They're hiding. They meet in apartment buildings or a basement or just anywhere they can hide from the public, and they have services. There's churches like that in China tonight. What's an unregistered church? Well, in some areas of China, the government doesn't care if people meet. They just don't care. They turned a blind eye. They're not in a building like this. But they can rent a building, they may rent a restaurant, and they have a public meeting, a service. They're technically meeting illegally, but the local authority, whatever the local authority in that area, they just don't care. So we call that an unregistered church. They're not registered with the government. Technically, they're meeting illegally, but no one cares. About 6 months ago, I was in both of those types of churches. I was in an unregistered church. I preached in that to that congregation of people, and there was probably, I want to say, 400, 450 people in that service. That's not a secret service. You can't hide 400 people. And we had a great service. The very next week, I was in outskirts of Beijing. We went to a 6- or 8-story building, and we met in the basement. We were underground, and we were in the basement. They had a keypad on the door. You had to know the code to get into a lobby, and there was about 30 people in that service. They were meeting in secret. And so I tell people, you have to understand, both of those things are going on at the same time in China. And that's confusing, and it's because sometimes you may hear a missionary or hear someone say, well, we have Bibles, and we have tracts, and we witness, and people come to our service, and we don't have any problems. And you go, oh, that's wonderful. And it is. And then another missionary will come, and they say, we've been working in China, and we have to meet in secret, and we have to hide, and we have to email and code, and we can't get Bibles, and we can't get this. And sometimes we go, now, wait a minute. That's not the same story I heard from this missionary. Why? Which one of them is telling the truth? And my answer to that question is they're both telling the truth. Depends on where you're at. And my favorite phrase about China is, I say, everything you hear about China is probably true. Even if the stories sound conflicting, it depends on where you're at. I'll give you an example of that. A Chinese friend of mine a number of years ago, when the hurricane hit New Orleans, which one was it? Andrew? Katrina. I couldn't think of it. Yeah, when Hurricane Katrina hit and all that devastation. And I had, right after that storm, I went into China, and one of my friends met me, a Chinese friend, and he's like, I'm so sorry, Brother Robbie. I said, what's wrong? He goes, well, I'm so sorry that you're having so much of that damage, and is your home okay? Is your family okay? And I live in South Carolina. And I'm like, we're fine. We didn't have any effects of the storm. He said, oh, I saw on the news it was so devastated, it was so bad, everything was flooded and buildings down. I was worried that you were okay. And I had to, you know, affirm to him that I live a long way from New Orleans. It's a big country. And the point is, China's a big country. A lot of things going on there tonight, and it's not the same all over the country. So back to scriptures. Our job and our ministry is we're literally getting the Word of God into areas, restricted areas, remote areas of China. We do that through Hong Kong. Hong Kong is a part of China, but it's still a separate country. That can be confusing. I'm not getting into that, but it is a separate country. And we have an apartment and a storage facility in Hong Kong. We ship Bibles. We have them printed in Japan. There's samples on the table. That burgundy Bible you see, we have that Bible for congregations. The one in the center is a study Bible. We use that for pastors and Christian workers. That material is printed in Japan and then drop shipped to Hong Kong. And we do that for cost purposes. Because that burgundy Bible you see over there, we can print that Bible and ship it to Hong Kong for $1. $1. You couldn't even print it in the United States for $1. If you could, you couldn't ship it for $1. I promise you, we've tried. So that cuts down on the cost by going through Japan. And we've raised money for thousands. There's a children's Bible. I say Bible. It's a storybook. It's on the table. It's full color. It starts with creation. Then it goes through some of the Bible stories. Of course, the birth of Christ, the death, burial, resurrection. And we can print that Bible, that storybook, have it sent to Hong Kong for $1. And I tell congregation, when I'm in the United States, when I'm home, I'm in services like this, I'll be in three other churches before I go home. And I tell every congregation the same thing. We have a tremendous need for those. And if every congregation, if I'm in front of, if every person in the building was just to buy one, it'll meet the need. Because I'm going to tell the same story tomorrow. I'm going to tell the same story Friday and Sunday morning and Sunday night. And through that, it supplies the need for the materials we take in. Keep in mind, there's almost 1.4 billion people in China. Most of them have never heard the gospel. Most of them. And that one company that the Chinese government allows to print, as they say, religious materials, there's no way that one company could supply the need, and they don't. Someone has to take it in. Well, how do you do that? Well, we have to be somewhat sneaky. We use suitcases just like the one I brought with me tonight, because when we ship materials to our apartment in Hong Kong, I come in after the shipment. I bring teams of people with me. A team has maybe 6 or 8 people. We come in and we unload the boxes and we pack them in suitcases just like this, and shoulder bags and backpacks. And there's 2 main borders between Hong Kong and mainland China. These borders are walk-across borders. They're not open borders. You have to have special visas and permits to go into China. But there's thousands of people that are going across these borders every day. You have Hong Kong residents that have permits that allow them to go into China and they work. You have Chinese that have permits that they can come into Hong Kong and they clean the streets and work in the high-rise buildings, and they're going back home every day. So there's a flood of people every day going back and forth. In the middle of these Chinese and Hong Kong residents, you have American businessmen, European business people. Hong Kong looks like New York City. It's high-rise buildings. All of the technology companies are there. The banking companies are there. The manufacturing offices are in Hong Kong. But all the stuff that we buy, all the stuff at Walmart, all of that made in China stuff is made across the border, and there's factories as far as you can see, Pastor. I mean, just smokestacks and factories after factories. So you have a flood of people that look like me that are going across that border every day. Now, as I said, it's not an open border. So you have to show paperwork, and they have an area of security as well. Now, security is a little bit like an airport here in the United States. They have scanning machines, but the Chinese are a little bit different, especially at these borders. They don't physically stop every person and check every person. If they did, it would bog the system down. They would never get that flow of people across back and forth. So going to an area of security is, I'm choosing my words carefully, almost voluntary. Almost. And what you're to do is take your suitcase. Once you show your passport and you get it stamped, you go to that area of security. I'm not walking real well, so I won't demonstrate. But, and then you go and you put your suitcase and your shoulder bag, your luggage, on a conveyor belt. It's about as long as this short pew. And it'll go through, and you got police there and computers, and they're scanning. They're looking what's in your luggage because they want to keep, you know, bad things. They obviously wouldn't let weapons or drugs or anything like that in. So they're scanning everything. Once it goes through the scanner, you go to the other end and you just get your suitcase, your luggage, and you pick it up, and there's a corridor and you just walk through. No one says anything, and you walk into China. It's a main hub of transportation. You can get to anywhere in China from that starting point. Now, you have to understand Chinese culture. Chinese do not line up and wait their turn unless they're forced to. Serious. It's a mob mentality. So that scenario I just explained to you is not orderly, one at a time and wait your turn. There's a crowd of Chinese people there, a mob of mostly Chinese. and they're all fighting and scurrying and getting their stuff, and you go to the other end, you almost have to wade through people to find your luggage. Okay, so it's a mob mentality. And what happens many times when Americans, businessmen, important people, they have titles, they're the vice president of marketing for what, you know, and they get to that point, and they see all of that crowd gathered around that scanning machine, you know what many of those Americans do? They just bypass it and just walk right on by. And for the most part, the Chinese security and the police, they just let them walk on by. I saw that for the first time 12, 13 years ago. I observed that. I said, what kind of paperwork do these people have, these Americans? Well, they have business visas. Okay, how do you get one of those? You have to apply for it. I said, okay. I applied. Sent in my passport, got a questionnaire, filled out everything honestly. It asked me what kind of visa, business visa, asked me what kind of business I was in. It was a big, long category. I looked, I found one. One of them said distribution. I went, check, I'm in the distribution business. I am. There was another subcategory, had all these things you can distribute, right? I found one in that category. One of them said books. I went, check, I'm in the book business. Filled it out, sent it in, sent my passport. It came back, and I have a business visa stuck in my passport. The next time I came to that area, we shipped in Bibles and children's material, and I had a suitcase full and a shoulder bag full, and I got to that area of security, saw all those Chinese, and I held my breath, and I walked by that scanning machine like I worked for the most important company in the world. Because I do. And what I have is 100 times more important than anything Nike tennis shoe or Verizon Wireless or any manufacturing company has. No, we've got the very Word of God. We've already set up with missionaries and Chinese inside of China, and we use drop-off points, and we use hotel rooms, and we go in and unload all the things out of our luggage, and I take an empty suitcase, make a U-turn, I go back to Hong Kong, I load up again, and here I come again, just casually, just doing business, back and forth. And typically on one of our teams that we take in, now I do this every 3 months, we do 4 teams a year. We can take in anywhere from 12 to 15 tons a material, a suitcase at a time. Tons. Now, someone, I was in a church one day, said, well, you know, 15 tons of material, that's not a whole lot. I said, are you kidding me? I'm not driving a truck. I got a suitcase. Now, some of you are already in your mind, and let me say this first. Now, I asked the pastor how long I had tonight. Now, all pastors say the same thing. They say, ever how long the Lord leads. So I usually quit asking pastors. I asked the pastor's wives. They tell the truth. Pastor's wife said, you normally get out at 7:30. So I'm already over. No, I'm kidding. She didn't say that. But some of you may be thinking already, now, what would happen if you were to get caught? I wondered that too. And I remember the first time I got caught. I went through that scenario. I did that whole thing. You know, it was easy. I'd done it time and time again until that one time when that police officer stepped out in front of me and said, stop. And I stopped. And he pointed to the scanning machine. I knew what he meant. He wanted me to go through the security. I did. I put my things on there. It scanned it. I'm in the middle of the crowd. I grabbed my suitcase. I'm like, okay, that was easy. And I headed back out the door. And when I did, two more police officers stepped in front of me and said, stop, and I stopped. And they pointed to a side door, and immediately my mind started racing. I said, okay, now what did I learn in school about Chinese torture? They drip water on your head or pull your fingernails or something. Like, it's not good. They took me into a security area, and brought someone over that spoke English, and they had me take my luggage, put it up on a counter. They said, open it. I opened it. It's full of those burgundy Bibles. And he looked at me and he said, no books allowed. I said, really? No. How many can I have? He said, you can have one. He handed me one. They confiscated all the rest. They weighed it. They took my passport. They told me to wait. I waited. About 30 minutes later, they gave me my passport back. They gave me a piece of paper, and they had weighed everything, and they had fined me according to weight. They told me that I could go to an area of confiscation, another part of the building, about 2 hours later, and they would give them back to me, provided I paid the fine. I thought, that's a pretty good deal. I didn't lose anything. You go to confiscation, you pay your fine, they give them back to you. They just don't let you into China. They reroute you backwards to Hong Kong. They say it's not allowed. Now, you don't know me personally, but I'm a little bit stubborn. Usually that's where my wife says amen, but she's not here tonight. Okay, thank you. You got a little bit stubborn, because when that happened to me, I went back to Hong Kong, waited a couple of hours, grabbed a cup of coffee, put the same Bibles back in the same suitcase that I'd got stopped with 3 hours earlier, and went right back through the same border. Passed right by the same police officer who had stopped me 3 hours before, and walked right by. I guess we all look alike to them. I don't know, maybe. Now, as you can tell, my personality is, I joke around a lot, I make light of that, and I have fun with it. The worst thing that would happen to me is for them to take my passport and say, you can't come back. That's happened to some of our coworkers. That's happened in the last 6 to 8 weeks. That's serious. That means I can't go back to China if that was to happen. But that's still no big deal. We're not talking a major persecution. But our Chinese workers, it's a big deal to them. They risk prison time. They risk fines for having quantities of Bibles. Because remember what I said? That one company is the only company that legally can print and distribute religious materials in China. Everyone else is doing it illegally. And they risk prison time to help us get the word of God to their people. Now, two more things and I'll be done. You say, well, why would you do that? It sounds like it could be expensive. Yes, it costs a lot of money to finance that and print everything and ship everything and flights and all of that. And yeah, it can be expensive. Say, it sounds like a lot of work. Yeah, it could be a lot of work. I don't always get to dress up in a suit and tie and look important. It takes sweat, and maybe that's why I got a bad knee. I don't know. Yeah, it takes work. A lot of time. And some would say, well, why would you do all of that? And here's the answer. There's no salvation apart from God's word. That's it. That is the answer. You're saved tonight as a result of the Word of God. That's the only way. This pastor has preached it to you, a Sunday school teacher, a mom or dad, or a gospel track, a radio program. Somehow the Word of God got to you. Right. And they deserve the same thing. They deserve the same thing. So now you know what you're involved in, because it's your ministry. You're partnered with us. We have 4 major church plants within China now. That means we, when I say a church plant, I mean we have a missionary, Americans there, Chinese church there. They're evangelizing. They're starting other churches. We have 4 in 4 areas of China. We have 2 in the south part of China, 1 in central China in a mountainous area, and then we have 1 north on the border of North Korea and China. That's a whole different animal up there. That missionary is actively involved in getting scriptures not only to the Chinese, but also into North Korea. We've been printing and shipping Korean Bibles for the last year, I guess, almost a year now. I was up in that area a number of months ago. That's a whole different animal. I can't be personally involved hands-on with that particular ministry for obvious reasons. You say, what's the obvious reason? You're looking at it. I mean, look at me. I'm 6'3", I'm very white, I'm bald-headed. I stick out up there in that area. Yeah, they see me coming. But we've got Chinese, we've got Koreans that are working on that border. There's a river that separates China from North Korea. And let me make a point here. North Korea is probably the most closed country in all the world tonight. Not only closed to the gospel, but just closed to the outside world, period. Our brother here, we talked before service, and he told me about his son, I believe it was in North Korea, brother. Some awful things that went on there, and it's not any better tonight. But I'm convinced there's no place that's so dark that the light of the gospel can't shine through. Oh, I know there's barriers and man-made barriers. I understand all of that. But our God's greater than those man-made barriers. Amen. And we've got missionaries and Chinese and Koreans on the border of China tonight. And they're signaling North Koreans with lasers in the middle of the night. And we've shipped water balloon launchers. See, you didn't know you was involved in all this, did you? You had no idea. I mean, this is a rough church. They involved in all kind of smuggling activities. We've taken water balloon launchers. They're heavy-duty rubber bands. They got these huge stobs and a canvas pouch. I don't mean little. I mean huge. They'll launch up to 400 yards. That's four football fields. And they're launching scriptures into North Korea tonight. We just purchased two, in the last 6 months, we just purchased two drones. We're using drone technology. You can buy a burn phone, and you can download an app. You can buy a drone that's about the size of the top of this pulpit. You can buy an attachment that goes on the bottom of it. Use your cell phone with the cameras and navigate that, and it can take a box of about 70, maybe 75 pounds. Maybe not quite that much, but close. And we can lift it off from North Korea in the middle of the night or from China and take it across the river and land it over in North Korea. And they're doing it with their cell phones. Isn't that amazing? Technology. Some of that's even beyond me. Why? Because there's no salvation apart from God's word. I didn't bring a message tonight. I had a message, but I felt like I just need to let you know what you're doing. When you give the missions, all of those things I described, you're having a part in it. And when Chinese come to know the Lord or North Koreans come to know the Lord, it's going to be credited to your account. Sure. Sure will. Would you pray for those dear people? Pray for our ministry. The Lord willing, I go back in February. I was scheduled to go back in December. We've had to cancel that and had some problems on the border, so we're going to just wait and go back February, and hopefully I'll be mended by then anyway. So pray for that. Pray for that ministry, that the Word of God would go forth in China. If you have a couple of questions, I'll give you an opportunity to ask just a couple. We'll have prayer. I'll turn the service back over to the pastor. But anyone have just a quick question regarding any of that at all?
I'm a Gideon, and we get involved with men a little different way.
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with that.
But it worked. We've got about 4 or 5 million copies.
The Gideons are just recently, and I say recently, just in the last maybe a couple of years, 2 years or so, have gained access to get scriptures into China. They are working primarily through the government churches. What they do is legal. The company that I mentioned that prints Bibles in China, Most of them, that's where the Gideons are getting, having Bibles printed. And I say amen to that. That's a wonderful ministry. They've worked for years to be able to get that into China. The biggest problem the Chinese government had with the Gideons, they had this huge problem with the Gideons. You know what it was? The Gideons give them away. Chinese don't think like that. They want to make a profit. They want to sell them. That was the biggest obstacle. But the Gideons now are allowed in areas of China and through some of the cities and be able to get scriptures in that. That's wonderful. Thankful that they can do that.
You can't witness to anybody on the street. Everything has to be done inside a church.
Right. See, that's part of the restrictions. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
How much was the fine?
The fine's very minimal. If I had a suitcase full of, I can put about 75 or 80 of those burgundy Bibles in this one. It's bulging. You can barely pick it up. The fine was about $7 U.S. Yeah, we're not. No big deal.
Why do they punish their people when they're called the Bible?
Understand this. It's not illegal to have a Bible in China. They're not punished for having a Bible. Okay? They're punished for having quantities of Bibles, and they're punished for distributing Bibles because, back to what we said, only the government has the legal right to print or distribute religious materials. Same with the Gideons. They're having to work, as he said, through a church, inside of a church, and that's a government church. That's not an underground church. It's government controlled. Now, is it a good thing? Sure, it gets more scriptures in, but it's all about control. So if you were a Chinese and you had 500 Bibles stuck in your back bedroom and you were getting out to folks, you're going to get in trouble. That's not allowed. Anyone else? Pick up one of our prayer cards. If you have any questions after the service, see me. Let's pray, and I'll turn the service over to the pastor. Father.